Tonight also, we're going to be talking about a lot of really basic things. And some of you that have walked with the Lord for a long time, I hope you're going to feel confident enough too to say, look, you know, this is what works for me, you know, and maybe share that too as we go along. Because we'll find in a devotional time, we're all different human beings, and everybody does things a little different. There's basic things that you need to incorporate in your time with God, like reading the Bible, that everybody has to do. But everybody's going to do the way they have a devotional, their own. They're going to develop their own little way that they do it. So I want you just to know from the start, there's no right or wrong way to do this. And in the lesson that I gave you, I really told you what's most comfortable for me. In the little handout that you have, it's going to be just a little different because that's what's comfortable for Rick Warren, all right? So I don't want you to get into this thinking, I have to follow steps 1 through 5 or I'm out. You know, it's not going to work, I'm going to fail, everything's going to fall apart. So, but before we get into that tonight, I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork why the Word of God is so important in our lives. So I want to read just a few scriptures to you. Luke 12:21, because it reminds us that a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. So tonight we're going to be talking a lot about relationship, because really that's what happens in a devotional time. It's all about relationship. So we need to know that the scripture, that the Bible is a very different book, because it's the only book that's divinely inspired. God took time to send us a letter and books to tell us how to live, to give us examples of how people lived, the mistakes they made from not doing the right thing, and the victories they had because they made good choices. So 2 Peter says, Scripture does not come from those who wrote it because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. It's not any book. It was inspired by God and given to you so that there would be no doubt in your mind of God's plan of salvation and the working out of that salvation in your life. You know, a lot of people have said to me, well, you know, the Bible just, it's got to change with the times. God never changes. His rules never change. His plan never changes, you know. So that's another reason the Bible is so important, is because we can all have opinions, but in the end, God wins. And we better be on the same page with Him, you know. He's the one that knows the plan of salvation, and He knows how to work it out in our lives. So our primary goal, Luke 12:30 says, God will give you all you need every day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And I know we've talked about that scripture many times. And for some reason, we think that we can make our own way to God. I don't know. I think it's just human nature. Well, for me, you know, you hear people say, God's going to let me do it this way. Well, God has a plan. You know, we don't make up the plan. He makes up the plan. And we put what He says into practice. So pay attention, and be sure you pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those that aren't listening or paying attention, even what they think they have will be taken from them. So God reminds us, it's important. If the God of the universe took the time to give a book to us, to give us instruction, He wants us to listen to it and to obey it, you know, to pay attention to what He had to say. It's like, how do you feel when you're talking to your kids, you know, and they're rolling their eyes or they're looking around. You know, when they're little, you take your face and say, look at me. You know, what I'm saying is important, and that's what the Bible is to us. He's saying, look at me. What I have to say is important. So, pay attention. Do what it says. 1 Peter 2:8 says the people stumble because they don't listen to God's word and obey it. And we can't be passive where the word of God is concerned. 1 Peter 2 says that you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk, now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Most of us here have had children or been around a small child. When a child wants to eat, they make their, as a baby, and even as they get older, they make their wishes known to you. You know that they want to eat. And the word says, you know, where we're concerned as older people, to ask, to seek, to knock, that those that seek will find. You know, those that ask, the door will be open unto them. So you can't be passive about the word of God. You know, you need to crave it just like a baby craves the milk that they want. Colossians tells us that the word of Christ is to live in our hearts because it will make us wise, and that we'll use the words in the Bible to teach and counsel other people. So today, God says to us, not tomorrow, not next week, not down the line. He says, today, I want you to listen to my voice. Don't harden your hearts against me as Israel did, because Israel refused to do what I told them, and they never entered my place of rest. So be very careful, dear sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Never forget, you must listen to his voice. So then probably the question arises, how does God speak to us? So how do you think God speaks to us? What are some ways that he speaks to you?
Through the word.
Music. Circumstances, good. The Bible talks about dreams and visions. Not very many people have dreams and visions these days, but there's all kinds of ways. There's that little voice inside of us that the more we get to know the Savior, the more we recognize his voice, and we know when he speaks to us. But all these things, all these other things besides the word, can get confusing, can't they? Have you ever heard a voice and said to yourself, now was that God? Was that not God? You know, I think we've all done that. And when we've been told to do something, we've asked, is that God? Is that not God? And there's a standard that measures the voice that we hear. And the standard is always the word of God. So if you know the word, when you hear something, you have something to measure it against. It's the thing that keeps you safe in the voices that cry out to us in the world today. So if we don't know the word, we can be led astray by all the voices calling out to us. The word is also powerful. It tells us that the word of God is full of living power. And every day, who in this room doesn't need power to make it through the day? It's sharper than the sharpest knife. It cuts deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It shows us what is of God and what is not of God. It exposes us for what we really are, what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. So would you agree tonight that we need the word of God in our lives? There is no other book like it. That's why this study is so exciting. And I'll tell you, even those of us that are teaching are so excited about what's going to happen in this study. I'm going to lay the groundwork tonight, but you're going to have the opportunity to learn things that you're going to be amazed at the different ways that you can study the Bible. So I'm so excited to see all of you here, because I know that God is going to reward you and make the Word so powerful in your life as you just get these different ways to study it. It's going to be so exciting. It also says, the Bible says, that we cannot be disciples of Jesus Christ if we do not have a regular intake of the Word of God. I didn't say that. God said that. Jesus said to his followers, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free." If you look back through the history of the Christian church, whenever you read about anybody, any great man or any great woman that's in the Bible, you'll find out that they spent many hours on their knees and in the Word of God. It's called relationship. You know, there are Bibles everywhere. I remember Brother Andrew, which dates me, I realize, but he used to smuggle Bibles into Russia. That's what he did. He would go into other countries and smuggle Bibles. And they always talked about how precious it was. And I heard a story the other day that again reminded me of the preciousness of the Word of God in other cultures. They told the story of people that brought in Bibles in Africa, and they were giving them away to everybody. Everybody got a Bible, and they'd had a long line of people, and they got near the end, and there were three or four people that didn't get Bibles. And one lady came and said, "If I can just have the box that the Bible was in." You know, the respect for the Word of God, I think we've lost in America because it's so easy to get a hold of. You know, we forget what a precious gift God has given to us. So today we're going to talk about the devotional method. And the purpose of all study, no matter what one we talk about, what method we begin to talk about as we go through the week, is to know God better, to hear His voice, and to respond to what He says. In the weeks to come, we will talk about many other ways to enhance our study, but devotional study speaks of relationship to me. A few years ago, as I began to study and read, I realized that although I talked a lot about God, we didn't have the intimate relationship that I wanted. I remember singing, "I am a friend of God," and feeling that I wanted to be friends with God, but I really didn't understand what that meant. So thus a quest began to establish an intimate relationship with the Lord, and that is when everything in my life changed very dramatically. I want to tell you, I should have told you this story up here, but I'll just tell you because it's kind of cute. The story of the little girl who goes to school for the first day. You may have heard the story. And the mother, when she walks in, mom says to her, "Well, how did your day go today? What did you learn?" And the little girl looked at her and she says, "Well, not enough, because I have to go back tomorrow." So, and that's kind of how the Word is to us, you know. We have to go back over and over and over again, because it's living and powerful. And every day it addresses the situation that we're in, and every day we learn something new. There's no other book, you know, that you can read over and over and over again and every time get something different out of it. So I made of my life after this happened God to be really the priority in my life. And as a result, He began to speak to me in ways that still amaze me today. I love the Word, and I love my time with the Lord, and I set my schedule so that my day revolves around my time with Him. And lest you think I have this down and don't have failures, let me assure you that some days are easier than others. And some days I get sidetracked, just like you do. But the more you allow Him into your life, and the more you're in the Word, and the more you're in prayer, the more it changes your life. And Angie asked me to share with you tonight my Christmas. And I some of you I've shared with, so you'll just have to put up with me. But I share this to show you how the Word of God begins to work in your life as you make Him your priority and you hear from Him every day. Not that I have this down, you know. And I'm sure God was gracious, you know, in showing me this so I could just share this with you today. But let me just share a few things. I retired from the place that I worked for because of a death threat. So it's been, I'm not going to give you all the details of how it all happened. But anyway, I ended up having to retire from my job. And I really thought the situation was over and that things had moved on in my life. And this summer, I got a summons in the mail. And the summons was that I was to appear in court and testify against this man that they were going after him for $500,000. And I thought, if he was upset that his kid got expelled, you know, $500,000 could upset him a little. So all of this turmoil that I had experienced before began to build in my life again. And I said, Lord, I want to live above this situation rather than this situation living above me and controlling me every day, because I, all of a sudden, this fear that I had, you know, began to rise in my life again. So I was reading the Word in the morning, and I had been praying for peace, and I was reading the book of Philippians, and this verse, which I know, and you know, but it became flesh in my life when I read it that day. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And you know what I like about the Lord the best is sometimes you can read that verse and it can be, oh, high and by spiritual, you know, and it goes over our head. But that day, you know, I felt He said to me, I'm going to make it real simple for you, Pat, and this is it. Don't worry. Pray. And you pray every day before you get out of your bed in the morning. And you ask for my protection. And if you do that, I will guard your heart and give you peace. Just as that scripture said. So every day, I did exactly what He told me today to do. And every day when I got up, the peace of God flooded my heart. So it's what I call the Word sometimes becoming flesh in your life. It's something all of a sudden, you may have read it 1,000 times, but that Word comes and covers a situation in your life. Well, during that time also, I'd gone for a physical like we all do once a year. Well, at least we're supposed to. And during that time, she said, I think you may have a heart issue, you know. So we did some tests, and finally I had to do a treadmill. And I didn't pass the treadmill, which I didn't, and I was a little shocked because I'm not in terrible shape, you know. So she sent me to a cardiologist, and the cardiologist said, yes, it looks like you have a blockage. We're going to have to run some more tests. So I came home and I just began to pray about it. The date for the court was becoming closer and I was going to have to do this other test. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, so what do you want me to do? And He said, I want you to go get prayer from the elders. And, you know, it's like anything. Sometimes we have 1,000 excuses. Well, they're too busy, you know, and we go through that whole thing. But I've learned in my life that if God speaks to me, if I want to sleep, I really should do what he asks me to do. Because he usually keeps me up for days if I argue with him. So I made the appointment, you know, to go see the elders. And they prayed for me. They prayed about my heart and they prayed about the court date. 3 days later, I get a call from the lawyer that was going to be handling the case. And he says to me, the case has been canceled. It will never be reopened again. It is over with. I went and had the test done for the heart doctor, and he gave me a clean bill of health, you know. So hearing his voice and doing what he's saying. And this really just kind of started. I was so excited. I mean, I was so excited when the court thing was canceled. Then the heart thing came. I mean, I'm jumping up and down to anybody that will listen to me when they come into my presence. You know, hallelujah, Lord. Do you know how good he is, you know? Well, Tom and I always invite our neighbors over for the holidays. And so we did. And we've been praying for our neighbors, you know, that they will come to know the Lord. And this year, we've been asking this one man particularly to come. And never came. Usually wouldn't answer the door even when we knocked on it. Well, this year, you know, he came. And when he came in, I mean, I was ready to jump up and down in the thing because this was a huge answer to prayer for me that he would even come in my home. And then when he was leaving, he looked at me and he said, would you invite my wife and I over for dinner? I was so blown away from somebody who doesn't even talk to people, who kind of hides in the neighborhood, you know, God gave us favor that night. And I'm so excited to see what he's going to do. And then, you know, it was the end of the party, and I was all wound down, and there's a knock at the door. And other neighbors are there, and they come in, and they begin to pour their heart out about how they've been hurt in church and the things that have happened. And I begin to tell them about our church and about ladies' Bible study and, you know, what God is doing. And the lady looks at me and she said, would you take me to Bible study? You know, God is so good. Then the next day, the next day we had a flood in our house. So I wasn't really too upset about it because, number one, the Lord helped us find the water right away. And, you know, when we were busy, we were bailing water, we were, you know, moving towels every 15 minutes. But I just had this peace about it. My friend that I pray with every week called me on the phone. She says, Pat, in the next morning, she says, you've been on my mind. I needed to call you. And I said, yeah, well, I'm busy bailing water right now. You know, we may have to talk later. She says, no, we have to pray right now. I said, okay. So we prayed. She says, I'm going to call my son. He's a contractor. Surely he'll know somebody that can help you because the water wasn't a broken pipe or something. It was a spring that had sprung up under our house. So it was somebody that had to know how to divert water. I mean, it wasn't, I could call Joe Blow on the phone and say, you know, could you come over and take care of this water for me? So we prayed, and 15 minutes later, she called me back, and she says, you're never going to believe this. And I said, what? She says, my son Ryan does water diversion. In fact, he just finished a class. This is his specialty. He'll be over in 2 hours. You know, how God works. Then I have to tell you really one of my favorite stories from the thing. I know I'm maybe boring you, but I'm trying to show you that as we commit our lives to God, God begins to move in ways we cannot even imagine. I'd gone to the bookstore about, 3 or 4 months before Christmas, and I'd seen this little pink Bible. And I felt the Lord said to me, Pat, buy that Bible and put it in your purse. I'm going to show you the person to give this Bible to. So I bought the Bible and I put it in my purse and I kept it there. And nothing, 3 or 4 months went by, and I'm thinking, I wonder how long I'm going to have to carry this. But, you know, I knew that God had spoken to me, that I had heard his voice. So we have Tom Mentor's foster children. So they came to our house for Christmas Day, and I had all the presents and the stockings, all that kind of stuff ready for everybody to come, and Tom went down to pick up the kids in Bakersfield, and he calls me, and he says, well, there's one more. Can I bring her? I've told her there's no gifts. She can't, you know, we have nothing for her, you know, but she's going to be all alone if I leave her. She will be all alone. I said, well, of course, don't leave her. Bring her with us. So I began to kind of pilfer things from all the little stockings so I could make another one and take care of her. And as I'm doing this, all of a sudden, the Lord says, you remember that Bible in your purse? He says, go get that and put it in her stocking. So the kids come and we open presents, and it's pretty amazing every year anyway when we have these kids, because you forget all the small things in life that we take for granted. And one of the little boys, Robert, that was there, he's not little, he's 16, but said to me, you know, I've never had a Christmas before. And we gave him a Bible, and he said, and no one's ever cared enough to give me a Bible. Thank you. So that really was enough for the day for me. The kids, you know, they were hiking, doing all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden I looked out the window and the kids were getting in the car. And I said, oh Lord, Samantha's leaving and I haven't had a chance to tell her about the Bible. And I said, you're going to have to bring that little girl in out of that car, back into my house, if you want me to tell her this story. So 2 seconds later, Samantha looks at Tom and said, I have to go to the bathroom. Can I go back in the house? So she comes back in the house and she goes to the bathroom. And as she walks out, I said, Samantha, I need to tell you about the Bible that I gave you. I said, you know, God had me buy that Bible 3 or 4 months ago, and I've been carrying it ever since to meet a special girl. And you're that girl that God has been waiting for all these months to bring into my life so that I might be able to tell you how much He loves you. And she began to cry. I began to cry. And the Lord allowed me just to step back for a moment and see His arms, even though they were mine, wrap around her. And for the first time, I had really the privilege, I think, of seeing the love of God for people. How He longs, how He works in each one of our lives to bring us to certain people at certain times, to touch their lives and to change them. And oh, the Word of God, what a blessing it was to give that to her. So you would think that with all of this going on, that, well, you can imagine that nobody could come into my house without me, you know, saying, oh, you're never going to believe what God just did, you know. And my girls, we had kind of Christmas in succession. It's Tom's kids, the foster kids, my kids is kind of how it goes. And so as my middle daughter was coming down, she called me and she said, before they left, she says, we can't come, Jack's sick. And we've all had the flu. He's running a really high temperature, and he even went back to bed by himself. You know, we probably aren't going to be able to make it. So my other daughter was there, and I said, Kelly, let's pray. We prayed. An hour later, Kim called me on the phone, and she said, well, you're not going to believe this, but Jack is well, and he's ready to come to his grandmother's. And he came, and he was well the whole time. Also, my daughter that this happened to, I'm so thankful to God for the witness to her, because she really has stopped praying at all. And her kids didn't know how to pray. And so when it came time to pray for dinner on when we celebrated Christmas, she had taught her kids how to pray for the first time. And our little 2.5-year-old came to me and said, Grammy, I get to pray this Christmas. So God is so good, so at work every day in your life as you hear His voice and you hear His word. He directs your paths in ways that will amaze you. But life sometimes interferes, doesn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't it? So easily it interferes. So I want to talk just a little bit about the book of Haggai, because it presents an example of the challenges that we face, balancing our lives with life. So let me set the stage for you. There are a group of Jewish exiles who choose to return to Jerusalem from the captivity in Babylonia. The people are confronted by a city in shambles, including the temple. Everything is in shambles, but they're very excited when they get there and they work really hard. But like life today, when work gets hard and opposition arises, their enthusiasm dwindles and they get caught up in just everyday survival. So Haggai arrives on the scene, and it's been about 16 years, and the Jews haven't worked since the Jews worked on the temple, but they're busy building bigger and better houses, and everything has become about them. So Haggai doesn't mince words with them. He tells them, "Why are you living in luxurious houses while God's house lies in ruin? Consider how things are going for you. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Now go up to the hills and bring down timber and rebuild the Lord's house. You hoped for rich harvests, but they are poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord Almighty, while you are all busy building your own fine houses. And that is why the heavens have withheld the dews, and the earth has withheld its crops. I've called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your cattle and ruin everything you have worked so hard to get." So the people listen to Haggai, and they obey the message, and they begin to worship the Lord in earnest. They change their heart from the things of the world to the things of God. And we know it's not easy, because in chapter 2, the Lord encourages them by saying, "Take courage and work, for I am with you." And after they laid the foundation of the temple, the Lord gave this word, "I'm giving you a promise now, while the seed is still in the barn, before you've harvested your grain, and before the grapevine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate and the olive tree have produced their crops, from this day onward, I will bless you." Once they got their priorities right, God blessed him. So I encourage you today, if the things of the world have crowded out your relationship with God, hear the word of the Lord. It will take work to get back your priorities back in order. But the Lord promises to be with you and bless you if you are obedient. So today we have to decide who or what will have priority in our lives. Actively or passively, we each make that decision every day. We tend to think we can be casual in our relationship with God, but we cannot. The normal Christian life is that we take time to read His Word and to pray or talk to Him every day. The Word must become a part of our lives. You cannot live on my revelation, and I cannot live on yours. Relationship is based on personal communication, not what has happened in my life, not what Andy preaches. Although all these are good and edifying, no one can have a relationship for you. Only you can do that. You may be touched emotionally, and God does speak to us through others, but real change comes from one-on-one communication and that revelation from God. So let's summarize just a few of the reasons why the Word has to be primary in our lives. It is the way we get to know God personally. We need fellowship daily with God to grow and to be healthy spiritually. It is the way we learn to know His voice. It directs our paths and it lights our way. It keeps us from being deceived, and it is our source of strength. It is our weapon against the devil. It is God's directive for our life. It is powerful, and it purifies our lives. It was written with purpose, our own special love letter from God. It gives hope when we're hopeless. It warns of things that can harm us, and we're commanded to study it. It's absolutely trustworthy, and it gives knowledge of eternal life, how to enter it and how to live it. It's our spiritual food, and without partaking of the word, we experience spiritual malnutrition. Those who read it are blessed and respond to it are blessed. We give devotion to God, and we gain delight in His presence if we read it. I really shouldn't have to say another word. Honestly, have you ever had a book that would do all those things for you? I mean, we must love this book. So now you can understand why the devil is so busy trying to make all the unimportant things in our lives become the most important. We must remember and live in the big picture, because really, is there any more important thing in life than knowing the Creator? Is it more important to watch our favorite television show than to know God? There's always time in our lives for what is most important. If you want to be a good mother, if you want to be a good wife, if you want to be a good friend, you will be in the Word. We have to remember that the number one priority in our lives has to be God, and knowing God takes time, and we can't know Him unless we're in the Word. Any questions before we go on? The things that we've talked about? I don't want to just talk the whole time if somebody's got a question of something we talked about. All right. Well, I want to talk about obligation versus privilege. You know, the devil comes to us saying, you have to do this. But he twists it into an oppressive obligation. And we forget that the things God gives us to do, he says, you have to pray. You have to read the word. You have to do this. You have to do that. And all of a sudden, we're so burdened with all the things in life that we have to do that it numbs us and we do nothing. But that's his device. So we begin to see sometimes the very gifts that God gives us, we allow it to become an obligation in our life instead of a privilege. What a privilege to know, have something that directs our path when we don't know which, something that gives us strength each day, you know, something that purifies our life. Is that obligation or privilege? You know, much of what we have is the attitude with which we approach it. So we can approach our devotional time with different attitudes. An attitude will be everything in our success. So I just put three different ways. Not that they're not more than three ways, but this kind of puts them into perspective, I think. Wow. We can look at his wow. And isn't that what God wants us to come in his presence with? Wow. I'm in your presence. And I get to listen to what you have to say. What a privilege. What a privilege. And not only do you get to listen to what he has to say, but he wants to talk to you about it. So in obedience, you begin to work and build an intimate relationship with God where you listen to what he has to say, the word, and you share your needs, your wants, and your desires, which is prayer. It's a process where you develop a friendship, and eventually he becomes your best friend. Before long, you can't wait for those times of fellowship, because there is nothing in life like hearing from the King. Spending time with those you love and cherish can be hard work. We know that from Christmas. But you wouldn't trade a moment of it because you love and you treasure them. And we need to fall in love with our Savior. Obligation. We can also look at it at reading the word this way. You can read the word and you can add it to your list of dreaded chores. You can read it, but God rarely speaks to you or it doesn't make a difference in your life. You feel pretty self-righteous, though, because when someone asks about a devotional time, you can say, you do it. And it seems most everybody is just doing it because no one's really excited about it. But when obligation becomes love, what you must do leaves the category of obligation and becomes your heart's desire. Or you can make the third decision, which I hope none of you will make. You just can't make the time in your life. And you've decided it's just not worth the effort. Life is too busy. When the kids get into bed, you just want to veg in front of the television, and you don't want anyone to bother you. You've tried it, and it just doesn't work for you. Really, it's highly overrated, and life is just too exhausting, and adding one more thing to my schedule takes too much effort. Don't let the enemy deceive you, and stay there. You know, there is nothing better than relationship. Think of your relationship with your husband. How is it in your household when you walk in your household and you haven't really, you know, everything's a little tense, you're not really talking, and you're kind of just existing in the same house. You know, I hear in divorce care a lot, I was a married single, you know. I live in the house, but I really live alone in the house. We can do that in relationships. But how do we feel when we make the time for each other? When we put the time, the energy, and the effort into our relationship, a time where we talk and we share our hearts. And heaven opens up in our marriage relationship. The same thing happens with God. He's just waiting to fellowship with you. So where do we start? I'm going to give you some guidelines, but we'll each have different personalities and everybody's time will be a little different. But reading devotionally is very simple. It's the process of reflecting on a few verses or a passage and making personal application. We're simply endeavoring to encounter God on the holy ground of His Word by coming into His presence, first to listen, and then to talk with Him, and then to put into practice what He tells us. So the absolute best method of studying the Bible is simply to read it prayerfully every day, paying close attention to what it says. Meditate on the Scriptures, and don't stop reading until they have somehow worked their words, their message, and their truth, and the revelation of Jesus into the very soul of your being. Nothing extraordinary about that, but everything extraordinary. Because studying the Bible is wonderfully simple. Learn to enjoy God and His Word and to apply its truth, and you will always find what you seek, your will for His life. I want to say this again. Learn to enjoy God. Relate, you know, sometimes we think, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, therefore I have a relationship. Well, I married my husband, Tom, but if I don't talk to him, I don't have a relationship. I may still be married to him, but if we don't communicate and something doesn't happen in that household where we share with one another, we can be married for our whole life and never have a relationship. So, you know, I want us to understand that how important it is that you don't think that just because you've accepted Jesus, you're okay. we still have to build that relationship in our lives, just like we have to build a relationship in our marriage and all those areas of our life that are important. So it's been said that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And that's true when it comes to Bible study. If you have a desire to study the Bible, but you don't have a plan, you will fail. But the good news is this. You have many plans to choose from. And when it comes to methods for studying the Bible, variety, after you've been through this study, is going to be the spice of life. And you will have the opportunity to find exactly what works for you and makes that time with God exciting. But I want to go over just the basics for those people, you know, who've never done this in their life. Have a plan. But I say after that, have a plan. You have to be flexible sometimes with your plans, and you have to be creative. You know, ask for help. After all, aren't you dealing with the creator of the universe? He's got all kinds of ways to do things to help you. And as with all plans, there will be exceptions. You're sick, your baby's sick, your husband's sick. But live in the plan, not the exception. And that's where we get in trouble, you know, is we live in the exception instead of living in the plan. Know that exceptions are going to come and that God is not going to banish you from the kingdom because you've missed a day, you know, or whatever. So don't live in the exception that happens in your life. And if you have a plan, the exceptions will become less and less because you have that plan. So prayer, because you'll be flexible and you'll be able to move and say, okay, well, I would have had it here, but now I'm going to do this. And prayers, but after you have a plan, you have to pray. Prayer is your greatest tool in understanding the scriptures. So ask God to speak to you before you begin. Remember, prayer is just your turn talking to God. And it doesn't have, it's really easy. Just ask. And then you need to set a time. And if you have small children or you work, your plan may change every day if your schedule at work changes every day. But try to set a specific time each day. For most people, morning seems to be the best time, but there is no mold. In Jesus' life, he rose both early and late to meet and pray with people. Pray with the Father. Whatever time you pick, just try to be consistent. Schedule it on your calendar and keep your appointment with God. When your children are older, you know, these are just ideas. Establish a reading time for them in their room and use that time for your study. Or even better, begin to teach them, you know, how to have a time alone with God. As they get older, you know, you may be sitting at the soccer field in your car. You know, you're going to have to be creative when you come to this. When you have kids, you have small kids at home, and you have all these things going on, you've got to be creative in the way that you do things. So choose a special place and a location where you can be alone, and it's all right if it's you have to hide out in the bathroom, you know. God knows you go to the bathroom. So, you know, wherever your special place has to be, you know, where you can get a moment of peace and quiet, where you won't be disturbed or interrupted. And I know with mothers, sometimes that's almost an impossibility sometimes. But a place where you are comfortable, but not too comfortable, because most of us, if we get too comfortable, fall asleep, right? And so we don't want to do that. You know, if you're commuting every day, and I know a lot of you work, you know, you may need to get the Bible on CD and listen to it as you go down. And then you may just have to do your prayer time in the car, you know, sometimes. Or you may need to use your lunch hour. You know, all the girls that you want to go to lunch with, you know, it may be a time, if that's the only time you have all day that is your own, then make sure that the most important person in your life is God and that that time is spent with him. So don't use work or small children as an excuse. There are enough hours in a day, and you will live in disobedience if you ignore his word. So have a reading plan. Everyone recommends that if you're new, in reading the Bible, or new in doing this whole thing, don't start in the Old Testament, because you're going to get lost in Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of those, in Leviticus, some of those places. you're going to get lost. So don't start there. Don't set yourself up for failure to start. Start somewhere where the word is easy to understand. I brought today I have to have a plan. I love this Bible, the Daily Walk Bible. It has devotions in it. It explains the word before you get into it. So if you are new in the word, it just has great helps into it. This year, I read this for about 3 years in a row. And this year, we're reading a different daily Bible, but it's in chronological order, So there are so many different Bibles out there and different ways to read the word. You won't get bored. I like one. A lot of people like to read a devotional and their Bible. I like to have everything together. So that's why I like Bibles like this, because you've got your little devotional in there. You've got, a little bit of history in there, and you've got the word in there. So I get everything at once. And for me, that works. But you find what works for you. Those are just my suggestions. And if you buy a year Bible to read through, you don't have to read it in a year. I can read it through in a year because I'm retired. I'm living a life of leisure, Some of you aren't. You know, all of us are in different phases of life. So don't beat yourself up if you buy a Bible to read through in the year and it takes you 3 years to get through it. The important thing is that you're reading the Word and that God is speaking to you and you're establishing a relationship. So don't get frustrated. God sees your heart and He will help you and He will reward you for your faithfulness. I had a friend who called me yesterday who's been sick off and on for many years, and she picked up the Bible. And she was so sick, she could only read two words. But she called me on the phone and she said, the two words I read today was, I will. And I knew that today, God will. I don't have to worry about it. And through my day, He did, So, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes it may only be two words that He speaks to you. So, but have a plan. I keep a Bible in my purse, and I keep a prayer list with me so that I can read or pray, if I'm out when time permits. And days are crazy. So, just be creative, in your time. Have a time to pray and pray with purpose. I have a prayer book. I also have, maybe you're better than I am, but do people come to you and say, would you pray for me? And you'd say, sure, I'll pray for you. And it's gone. Well, there are specific people that I think God puts in your life that He wants you to pray for. Obviously, if you have a family and a husband and children and grandchildren, those people go at the top of your list, But you're going to meet people like this lady I talked about who's been sick for so long, I know God wants me to pray for her every day. She's struggling, barely making it some days. And it's the prayers of the saints that keep her going. So, I... looks probably intimidating to you, but I have to have a plan when I sit down to pray, because otherwise my mind wanders, I fall asleep, I get thinking about the dishes in the sink that I really should be doing, or I forgot to add milk to my grocery list, or all those things. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe your mind doesn't wander like mine does. But if I have this with me, my prayer time stays on task. I know when I start out what I'm going to be praying about. I also, as I have read the Bible, whenever I see a prayer in there that I think about, that and I want to be creative in my prayers for people, not just God bless Diane today. And not that that's a bad prayer. I'm not saying that's a bad prayer. But what if I prayed, God, today will you give Diane complete understanding of what you want her to do in her life? Would you make her wise with spiritual wisdom? Would you make the way she lives always honor and please you? And would you help her to remember to continue to do good and kind things for others? And Lord, I pray for Diane today that she'll know you better than she knew you yesterday. And will you strengthen her today with your power so that she will be filled with your patience and endurance for the things that she's going to face today? And Lord, too, with my friend, will you fill her with joy, with the joy of the Lord? So, do you see the difference that that begins to make as you begin to pray for people? So that's why included in here too, just as I see things in the Word. Sometimes God, as I'm reading a Word, will say, oh, you need to pray for so-and-so. And so I have purpose when I begin to pray. Some of my kids aren't walking with the Lord. And so every day I pray that the power of Satan will be broken in their lives, you know, and that they will again know the love of Jesus, that the Spirit will speak to their hearts and bring an end to the work of Satan that's blinding them and keeping them from following him. I ask God to uncover their ears so they can hear him speaking, and to grant them repentance so that they might know the truth, that they might come to their senses and be filled with repentance. So, you know, I'm sharing these things, you know, and if you want help, so I keep my prayer list in my computer, and I even have things that I say thank you to God for, you know, every day. Every day I thank him for his son. I thank him for the Holy Spirit, for the work in his life, you know. There's a lot of different things. I'm not going to do all that, but can you begin to see where I'm going with this? And then there's every day I have just things that personally I felt that God is working in my life. And so every day, you know, I ask for wisdom. Every day, you know, I ask that his glory would be seen in my life, that I would be transformed into his likeness, that I would grow and find his word more precious than gold in my life, that he would create in me a clean spirit, and that I would abhor sin as I see it in the world. You know, that he would fill me with a deep reverence and fear for him and a desire to obey him, that I really would delight in doing what he wants, because sometimes I don't delight in doing what God wants in my life. So what I'm just saying to you is, do you see how you can bring so much purpose? And I believe the power of the word changes everything in people's lives. Because one thing I've learned from praying the word is, you know, you may ask me to pray for this or that for you, but if I pray the word over you, that you'll know God better, that you'll encounter him in a new and living way. And I begin to pray all those other peripheral things in your life are going to be taken care of. It's so incredible. I just can't tell you when you begin to pray that way in your life. So, life is to be a continual conversation with God. That's called prayer. But we need those times in our lives where he has our undivided attention, when nothing else is fighting for our time. So then I suppose the question comes, well, how much time is enough? You know, everybody seems to ask that question. So, as I've read, people suggest like 10 minutes a day and then let it grow naturally. But let me say to you, the more you develop that relationship with God, it won't be about time anymore. You know, it will be about establishing an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. So let me just summarize a few things. Relax and quiet your soul. Don't be anxious about this thing. It is really, God wants to know you more than you want to know him. Start with prayer and ask God to speak to you through his word. You have the Holy Spirit within you if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. And one of his jobs is to reveal the word to you. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see the wondrous things in your word. If you know of sin in your life, be sure you confess that sin. You know, search me, O God, and know my heart, and reveal any unclean thing in my life. Choose where you're going to start reading, and try to read at least a chapter, so that you don't take things out of context. And don't be in a hurry. If you have time, read the passage twice. Write out what you want to remember, or what you felt God spoke to you. It may be a verse that just stood out to you. It may be something that brought hope or comfort to a situation. It may be a promise that he gave. It may be something he wants to change in your life. Writing it down will enable you to remember what God has revealed to you. When God speaks, you need to understand the enormity of what has just taken place, and you need to reverence that moment. That the God of the universe took time to talk to you and me is beyond my comprehension. Think about what you read and how you can put it into practice. Try to memorize special verses, because hiding the word in your heart is a good thing. And God will use that word not only to encourage you, but others as you come in contact with them. My daughter puts sticky notes with scriptures on her mirror to look at as she gets ready in the morning, and in front of the sink as she does the dishes. So use your imagination and find ways to incorporate the word in the mundane things of life, like your dishes. We talk about study tools, and we'll go into that in another study. But just don't try to make what you're doing difficult. There will be times when you read a devotional, but try to make it an addition, not a replacement, for the Word of God. The Bible is the only thing that is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and nothing can ever take its place in your life. So spend time in prayer. We talked about that. Don't forget to say thank you for all he does. And vary your plan from time to time. If you don't, you'll fall into the trap of performing a method. Remember, this is about relationship and getting to know Christ. And I want to add this, because many people today have learning disabilities and reading is difficult. If that is the case in your life or your child's life, and reading is difficult, get an audio Bible or get a friend and read together. Ask God to help you and show you ways to bring the word into your life. My husband and I read the word together every morning. I read and he listens. Now, is that something every woman would like here? To read and he would listen? No, it just works best for us. But practical things to remember as you go through this. If you plan to get up early to read the Bible, don't stay up late. You know, go to bed on time, because it's not going to work. Your plan isn't going to work. and turn off the TV. Don't burn the candle at both ends. Be aware of time robbers. The TV is the number one culprit, I think, in our life these days, because when we come home, we become accustomed to vegging out. We don't want to have to do anything that requires energy, effort, or time, and it requires nothing. So it's so easy to sit in front of that and be filled with that instead of being filled with the Spirit as we're in the Word of God. So another robber can be an attitude that you have. We talked about that earlier. Or thinking, surely God will understand that I just don't have time to spend with Him. I had a busy day. That's like saying, surely my husband and children will understand that I just don't have time for them. If you base your time with God on how you feel, the devil will make sure that you never feel like it. Some days may be uneventful, and the scripture's hard to understand, but don't get discouraged. Remember, you are there to establish a relationship, and relationships take time and effort. And any time you read a book like the Bible, understanding comes as you continue to read. If you experience long periods of dryness, be sure that there is no unconfessed sin in your life and that you are taking care of yourself physically, not coming half asleep and exhausted to your time with God. Don't expect God to speak if you are always in a hurry. Let's just get this over with. My favorite TV program is on. God's purpose for speaking is always action, and we are to be a river that flows out to others. And let me say this, get ready. Get ready because Satan will send as many distractions as he can along your way. You may have to read and pray aloud. You may have to walk while you're praying. You know, he's going to remind you of everything to try to interrupt your thoughts as you do that. So if something comes to your mind, you need to buy milk, write it down. Don't obsess the whole time. I've got to remember milk. I've got to remember milk, you know. Which we do. So, your biggest struggle will be to maintain your time with God. Satan's number one priority is to destroy this time because he wants you to remain powerless in your life. He will also try to condemn you if you miss a day and tell you that you should just give up. Don't listen to this father of lies. When we become busy, sometimes we think if we have to give up something, it will be our time with God. But most Christians will say that their spiritual backsliding began as they began neglecting their time with God. Some people think that spiritual activity is a substitute for our time with God. I teach Sunday school. I teach Awanas. I teach divorce care. It's not. It's not. So let us not stop doing those things, but let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap harvest if we go on. So undoubtedly, probably everyone in this room has at one day or another resolved to never let a day go by without spending a portion of it focused, prayerful, and an enjoyable time with God and His Word. However, many find that after a few short weeks, their resolve grows cold. They find their Bibles are going unread days at a time due to a myriad of excuses such as, I got up late, or I had an early morning meeting, or a busy schedule, or even the simple fact that they feel apathetic. If this is you, I have this one request. Please, please do not let anything defeat you in this most vital area of Christianity. Knowing God's Word is your secret to victory. Defeat here is defeat all across the board. Make your time with God in His Word the most non-negotiable area of your life. And I promise you that you will enjoy the blessings of His presence. The possibility of Bible study topics and methods are endless. And as the weeks go on, you will have all kinds of new experience. So remember that knowing the Word of, remember, more important than knowing the Word of God is knowing the God of the Word. He is our exceeding great reward. And Bible study helps us to know God. Ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Christ. So please love your God, love His Word, and talk to Him in prayer. And for those of you that are just beginning, just concentrate on establishing a relationship, one that draws you each day into His presence. Read the Word and talk to Him. Learn to enjoy His presence and become friends. Learn to recognize His voice. And then with joy, you will begin to put in practice what He speaks to you, because you will have fallen in love. And that love will press you to please Him. Are you ready for an incredible journey? I am. Okay, let's talk about practically. I mean, I don't want this to be super spiritualized or whatever. Practically, let's talk about things that we've talked about. Yes, Kate?
As you were going through this, I was going back over some things that I had to do in my home. Before, there was a time when my life was just full of everything. And there was just so many things going on. And I made